So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Creation of the Kumaras and Others, Texts 1 and 2. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo
Maitreya Uvacha, Iti Te Varanita Chata Kala Akya Paramatmanaha Mahima Vedagarbha Atta Yata Asrakshit Nibhodha Me Maitreya Uvacha Iti Te Varnita Chata Kalakya Paramatmana Mahima Veda Garbhota Yata Lakshan Nibodhame Maitreya Uvacha Iti Te Varnita Chata Kalakya Paramatmana Mahima Veda Garbhota Yatha Sakshin Nibodhame Maitreya Uvacha
Shri Maitreya said
Iti thus Te unto you
Teo
Varanita
Described.
Shata. O Vidura. Kala Akya. By the name Eternal Time. Paramatmana. Of the Super Soul. Mahima, glories.
Slava.
Vedagarbha.
Vedagarbha.
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma.
The reservoir of the Vedas.
The reservoir of the Vedas.
Kungs Brahma, Veda reservoirs.
Kungs Brahma, Veda reservoirs.
Atta.
Atta.
Hereafter.
Turma.
Yata.
As it is.
Asrakshit
did create
Radhe
Nibodha. Just try to understand.
Sentius
Saprast.
May
from me.
Nomanis.
Translation and translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Maitreya said, O learned Vidura, so far I've explained to you the glories of the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his feature of Kala. Now you can hear from me about the creation of Brahma, the reservoir of all Vedic knowledge. Text 2. Sasar Jagrenda Tamisram Ata Tamisram Adikrit Mahamohang Chamohang Cha Tamascha Jnana Vrittayaha. Translation and purport by Prabhupada. Brahma first created the nescient engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception or forgetfulness of one's real identity. Purport. Before the creation, before the factual creation of the living entities in different varieties of species, the conditions under which a living being in the material world has to live were created by Brahma. Unless a living entity forgets his real identity, it is impossible for him to live in the material conditions of life. Therefore, the first condition of material existence is forgetfulness of one's real identity. And by forgetting one's real identity, one is sure to be afraid of death, although a pure living soul is deathless and birthless. This false identification with material nature is the cause of false ownership of things which are offered by the arrangement of superior control. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living and for the discharge of the duties of self-realization in conditioned life. But due to false identification, the conditioned soul becomes entrapped by the sense of false ownership of the property of the Supreme Lord. It is evident from this verse that Brahma himself is a creation of the Supreme Lord, and the five kinds of nescience which condition the living entities in material existence are creations of Brahma. It is simply ludicrous to think that the living entity is equal with the Supreme Person, and one can understand that the conditioned souls are under the influence of Brahma's magic wand. Patanjali also accepts that there are five kinds of nescience as mentioned herein.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivishakan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine.
Srila Prabhupada very nicely points out that the living entity is given all facility. All material resources are offered to the living entity for his peaceful living and for the discharge of the duties of self-realization. The whole world, everybody has been given proper facility for peaceful living and for cultivating self-realization. Why then are people so agitated? Why are their minds so disturbed? Because they're not properly utilizing the facilities they have been given. if they will simply properly utilize the facilities they've been given, to awaken their dormant enlightened consciousness, they'll become peaceful and happy. So why aren't people doing it? Because no one has taught them how to do it. Ignorance begets ignorance, which begets ignorance, which begets ignorance. This chain of ignorance has to be broken. Brahmande Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. This is how the chain of ignorance is broken. After wandering in the Brahmanda, the material universe, through countless species of life, in complete total ignorance,
kad kāds ir neskaitāms dzīves klaiņojis Brahmandā pilnīgā neziņā.
Konna Bhagyavan Jeev, one living entity who is very, very fortunate,
tā dzīvā būtne, kas ir ļoti veiksmīga,
receives the seed of bhakti planted within his heart.
Saņem bhakti sēkliņu savā sirdī.
So if one is fortunate to get that bhakti seed,
kur viens, kāds ir veiksmīgs saņemt šo te bhakti sēkli.
And one nurtures that seed very carefully.
Un viņš rūpējas par šo te un laista un apkopšo te sēkliņu ļoti uzmanīgi.
By watering that seed.
Tātad aplīgot šo te sēkli.
By keeping the weeds out of the heart.
Un ravējot nezāles no sirds.
Then that nescience will be destroyed.
Tad šī neziņa tiks sagrauta.
The original natural nature of the self will become re-manifested. It's quite interesting in this purport. It's like the government has the prison already for the, so they're already built for the prisoners when they come. So Brahma already had everything in place, waiting for the living entities to
Brahma,
come in.
Brahma visu jau sagatavojas, un viņa visi sagatavojas, un viņš jau gaida dzīvās būtnes.
Self-deception.
Sevis apmānīšana.
Whereby one thinks I am this body.
To, ka es domāju, ka es esmu šis ķermenis.
One doesn't realize I'm an eternal spiritual being, a servant of God.
Cilvēks nesaprot patiesībā, ka viņš ir garīga būtne, mūžīgs Dieva kalps.
Then, along with then, what follows naturally from self-deception?
Un kas dabiskā veidā izriet no šīs te sevis apmānīšanas?
If one thinks I am this body, then they have to become afraid of death.
Ja cilvēks domā, ka es esmu šis ķermenis, tad dabiskā veidā būs bailes no nāves.
If you think that body is you, that male body or that female body, if you think that is you, then you must be afraid of death.
Jūs domājat, ka šis ķermenis, šis vīriešu vai sievietes ķermenis, tas esat jūs, tad jums neizbēgami būs bailes no nāves.
Since the self is eternal, the self doesn't want to die.
Tā kā patība ir mūžīga, un tā šī patība nekad nevēlas mirt.
That's why we avoid death at every single step. We always try to avoid death.
Tāpēc mēs katrā savā dzīves solī cenšamies izbēgt no nāves.
Why do you look both ways when you cross the street?
Kāpēc jūs raugāties uz abām pusēm, tad, kad jūs šķērsojat ielu?
Because you don't want to be hit by a car.
Tāpēc jūs nevēlaties, lai jūs notriec mašīnu.
You ever analyze why you look both ways when you cross the street? Well, my parents taught me to do it. That's true, but why did they teach you to do it? Because they didn't want you to be killed. The point is that we all have this tendency to want to live forever because that is the actual nature of the self.
Mums visiem ir tā būtība ir tā, ka mums visiem ir tieksme dzīvot mūžīgi, tāpēc ka tā ir patiesā dvēseles daba.
But due to this facility of self-deception provided by Brahmā, we forget our eternal identity.
Bet tā iemesla dēļ, ka Brahmā ir nodrošinājis šo te iespēju, ka mēs varam sevi maldināt, mēs to esam aizmirsuši.
We become very, very afraid of death.
Mēs kļūstam ļoti nobijušies no nāves.
We get very angry if we don't get things the way we want them. From the very babyhood. If the baby doesn't want get what he wants, he screams. He becomes very, very angry. So all of these things are coming from Brahmā, you see. Simply to keep us imprisoned in this material existence. But the spiritual master comes to liberate this, to liberate us from all of this. Therefore, one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, one should take full advantage of this opportunity. The spiritual masters can liberate us from this material existence. They have potency, they have shakti, which is coming from Krishna through the parampara system. To liberate us, to illuminate us, to free us from all this misery we're going through. But you have to become humble. You can't remain puffed up and get the mercy. You only get the mercy of being delivered from the misery of this material existence to the degree that you manifest genuine humility.
Tikai tieši proporcionāli tam, kā jūs izvaužat patiesu pazemību, jūs saņemat iespēju atbrīvoties no šīs te materiālās pasaules.
Therefore, Krishna states very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34.
Un tāpēc Krishna ļoti skaidri to pasaka Bhagavad Gita 4. nodaļas 34. pantā.
Tadvidī pranipātena paripaśnena sevaya upadekshanti te jñānas jñāninas tatvadarshinah. If one wants to know the truth, one should approach the spiritual master.
Lai uzzinātu patiesību, cilvēkam ir jāvēršas pie garīgā skolotāja.
He should inquire how, challengingly.
Un kā ir jāvēršas pie garīgā skolotāja, izaicinājumu?
No, he should inquire submissively.
Nē, ir jāpār pazemīgi.
But now I'm your student. You please instruct me, you see.
Un, ka es sapratu, lūdzu, sniedz man norādījumus.
Not I am coming to defeat you, you see.
Tāpēc, ka es atnācu, lai tevi šeit sakautu.
And you render service also. You offer your obeisances, you inquire submissively, and you render service. These three things. If you will do that, if you approach the spiritual master, you render service, you offer obeisances, and you inquire submissively, then the spiritual master will enlighten you.
Jūs veiksiet šīs trīs lietas. Jūs piedāvāsiet savus cieņas apliecinājumus, pazemīgi jautāsiet un piedāvāsiet un kalposiet skolotājiem, tad skolotājs jūs apgaismos.
He will bless you with transcendental knowledge.
Viņš dos jums svētību, kas ir pārpasaulīgas zināšanas.
He will bless you with the path of bhakti.
Viņš jūs svētīs ar bhakti ceļu,
which will take you out of this material existence.
Un jūs atpestīs, atbrīvos no šīs materiālās eksistences.
Back to the abode of Krishna.
Un atpakaļ atvedīs uz Krishnas mājvietu.
Far, far away from the abode of Lord Brahmā.
Kas ir tālu, tālu no Brahmas mājvietas.
As described in this verse.
Jā, tas ir aprakstīts šajā pantā.
Any questions?
Vai jautājumi?
Yeah.
Shila Gurudev, what is the process of becoming humble? It's like then you're following orders of Gurudev, and this quality come to you, or you have to manifest yourself is quiet.
Kādā veidā cilvēks kļūst pazemīgs, vai pazemība nāk vienkārši tikai tāpēc no tā, ka skolnieks izpild guru norādījums, vai arī kaut kādā savā pašam ir jāizpauž šī pazemība.
So how does one develop humility, the question is. Is it something you have to manifest, or you just follow the spiritual master's order and automatically comes? Work it from both ends.
Jāstrādā no abiem galiem.
Humble means, don't think that you're great.
Pazemīgs nozīmē, nedomāju, ka jūs esat varens.
That I know everything,
is it?
I'm a great personality,
is it? Varena personība.
Don't think that you're great.
Nedomāju, ka jūs esat varens.
Feel yourself very humble, very lowly and insignificant.
Uzturiet sevi kā ļoti nenozīmīgi.
Actually, that is one of the six items given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as what you need to do to practice Krishna consciousness. So in that sense, your question is very interesting. Should I serve the Guru's order, or should I cultivate humility? The Guru is ordering you to cultivate humility. So there's no difference. You understand? Your Gurudev is ordering you to cultivate humility. So by cultivating humility and obeying his order, it's one and the same thing. Is that clear? Anything else?
Кришна Махарадж, скажите, пожалуйста, как сохранить вот это состояние состояние смирения, и когда уже на тебя начинает, допустим, проливаться, со временем ты прогрессируешь и достигаешь чего-то в духовной жизни, и как сохранить это состояние смирения, не возгордиться? Спасибо.
Jautājums ir, kā saglabāt šo te laika ejot, kad tu sasniedz arvien vairāk, kā saglabāt šo te pazemību un nekļūt lepnam. The question is how to maintain this proper sense of humility when by time, by achieving more and more, by learning more and more, how to avoid puffing up.
Yeah.
How to maintain it.
This is a very good question.
It's a good love jautājums.
Because when you're new to ISKCON, it's very easy to be humble.
Because
you don't know anything. Every devotee becomes an authority. Well, you know, you should chant with your right hand, not with your left hand. You should bow down in the temple room. Don't put your book on the floor. Everybody's your authority when you first come in the door. So it's very easy to be humble in the very beginning, you see. But once you get in, you learn the ropes. Yeah, I know to chant with my right hand. I know to bow down at the end of the temple room. I know not to put the book on the floor. You know, then, wow, I really know something now, you see. Here comes a newcomer that, oh, they got to tell them to offer their obeisances, they got to tell them to chant with their beads with their right hand. Now I'm an authority, you see. So the question is, as one becomes knowledgeable, one becomes an authority also. So how do you become humble when you're an authority? It's an excellent question. Actually, it's a problem that has caused the fall down of many a senior devotee in our movement. They became proud of their big position and they fell down. The best way to stay humble is to study Prabhupada's words.
Labākais veids, kā palikt vienmēr pazemīgam, ir studēt Prabhupādas vārdus.
Study his arrival prayer when he arrived in the U.S.
Studējiet viņa ierašanās lūkšanu tad, kad viņš ieradās Amerikas Savienotajās valstīs.
It's available in many of our publications. I think it's in the Science of Self-Realization.
Tā ir daudzās publikācijās pieejama, un es domāju, ka zinātnē par sevis apzināšanos tā
ir. In September of 1965 in Boston Harbor.
65. Gada septembrī Bostonas ostā.
Prabhupāda so humbly presented himself.
Prabhupāda tik pazemīgi sevi izteica.
Here he is, the greatest Vaishnava authority in the history of the universe.
Look, te viņš ir lielākā Vaishnava autoritāte vēsturē.
But yet he is saying, I have no bhakti and I have no bhakti and I have no knowledge.
Bet neraugoties to, viņš saka, man nav bhakti un man nav zināšana.
Although I've been designated Bhakti Vedanta, I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta.
I get money sells Bhakti Vedanta, man nav nekāds Bhakti un nav Vedantas.
He was simply praying, Krishna, you kindly give me the power that my words will have some potency to help these people become your devotees.
Un viņš pazemīgi lūdz, Krishna lūdz dot man spēku, lai maniem vārdiem būtu kāda ietekme, un lai šie cilvēki, kas to dzirdētu, kļūtu par taviem baktām.
As soon as someone thinks, you know, I'm a pretty good preacher.
Ja kaut kāds iedomājas, ziniet, es esmu diezgan labs sudinātājs.
They lose their potency.
Viņi zaudē savu spēku ietekmi.
We have many of our book distributors who report to us how they became very proud. Oh yeah, I'm a pretty good book distributor.
Mums ir daudz ziņiem par to, kā grāmatu izplatītāji, kas bija iedomājušies, ka viņi ir ļoti labi grāmatu izplatītāji.
Nobody wanted a book.
Neviens nevēlas vairāk no viņiem grāmatas.
And they helplessly called, Krishna, Krishna, it's only by your potency I can distribute these books. Please help me, Krishna. Then they can distribute so many books.
Bet tiklīdz viņi pazemīgi vēršas pie Krišnas un saka, Krišna, bez tavas palīdzības es neko nevaru izplatīt. Lūdzu, palīdz, tā viņi uzreiz var izplatīt.
So many devotees who go on book distributions reported this experience. When they feel themselves helpless and dependent on the Lord, that's when they can effectively distribute books, you see. As soon as they become a little proud and thinking, yes, I'm a pretty good salesman, nobody's interested. So, Krishna mercifully helps us become humble. As we advance in Krishna consciousness. Because if you're really advancing in Krishna consciousness, you're feeling yourself more and more humble. You see, in the beginning, it's like, and there's four kinds of competence. The first is called unconscious incompetence.
Pirmais līmenis ir neapzināta nekompetence.
You're completely incompetent, but you don't even realize how incompetent you are.
Jūs esat pilnīgi nekompetents, bet jūs pat nesaprotat, ka tas ir tāds.
And then as you advance more up the competence scale, you come to the point of conscious incompetence.
Tad jūs attīstīties par kompetences līmeni, tad jūs saprotat, nonākat līdz stāvoklim, kad jūs esat apzināti nekompetents.
Now you're starting to wake up and realize what a complete total idiot you actually are.
Tad jūs pēkšņi sākat apzināties, cik jūs patiesībā liels muļķis esat.
That means you're advancing.
Tas nozīmē, ka jūs progresējat.
So in this way, gradually, by realizing your incompetence, gradually you can become truly competent preacher, truly competent devotee.
Un tādā veidā apzinoties savu nekompetenci, jūs patīk pamazām attīstoties un kļūstat par kompetentu.
And here's an insider secret.
Un šeit ir noslēpums, ar ko es jums dalos, kā cilvēks, kas to praktizē.
The more you genuinely feel yourself to be a complete incompetent nincompoop,
un jo vairāk jūs patiesi izjūtat sevi kā pilnīgi nekompetentu,
to that degree you become competent.
Līdz tieši proporcionāli tam jūs kļūstat kompetents.
So, try to realize more and more how incompetent you actually are in every conceivable way.
Jebkurā veidā centieties apzināties, apjēgt to, cik patiesībā jūs esat nezinoši nekompetenci.
This will be your becoming mature in your Krishna consciousness.
Un tas padarīs jūs no pieredzējuši Krishna apziņā.
What is the proof of my statements?
Nogriedušāk. Un kāds ir pierādījums manam apgalvojumam?
Lord Chaitanya.
Kungs Chaitanya.
He is the topmost competent person. He is God himself.
Viņš ir viskompetentākā persona. Viņš ir pats Dievs.
He said, I have no love for Krishna.
Viņš saka, man nav mīlestības uz Krishna.
I have absolutely zero love for Krishna.
Man ir pilnīgi nulle mīlestības uz Krishna.
Because if I had any love for Krishna, I would die immediately in the pain of being separated from him.
Tāpēc, ja man būtu kaut mazākā gribatiņa mīlestības uz Krishna, es nekavējoties nomirtu no ciešanām, ko man rada atšķirtība no viņa.
The fact that I am maintaining body and soul together in his absence proves I have absolutely no love for Krishna.
Un tas, ka es uzturu ķermeni un dvēseli kopā, tad, kad viņa nav, pierāda to, ka man nav nekādas mīlestības uz Krishna.
So, if that's Lord Chaitanya's presentation of himself, what is our position?
Un, ja pats kungs Chaitanya šādā veidā pasniedz sevi, tad kāds ir mūsu stāvoklis?
So, in this way, try to become a little humble.
Un tādā veidā centieties kļūt pazemīgāk.
But be careful of advertising yourself. Yes, I'm pretty humble.
Bet izvairīties no tā, ka jūs reklamējat sevi, ka jā, es esmu ļoti pazemīgs.
One devotee wrote Prabhupada a letter.
Viens vakts uzrakstīja Prabhupādam vēstuli.
Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen.
Srila Prabhupada, es esmu pats kritušākais.
Prabhupada's response.
Prabhupada's atbilde.
You're not the most anything.
Tu neesi nekas.
You are simply insignificant.
Tu esi vienkārši nenozīmīgs.
So even when it comes to humility, you have to be careful. You know, I'm pretty humble.
Un arī tad, kad attiecībā uz pazemību, es iet uzmanīgi.
That's another pride.
Es esmu ļoti pazemīgs. Tas ir kā
sometimes devotees say, paveicu. Sometimes devotees say, in my humble opinion.
Dažkārt, Bhaktas saka, pēc mana pazemīgā viedokļa, saskaņā ar manu pazemīgo viedokli.
I would suggest that one can say, in my puffed up opinion.
Un es saku, šajā gadījumā vajadzētu teikt, saskaņā ar manu lepno viedokli.
Next question. Yeah.
Если преданный смиренный, и когда ему дают какое-то более-менее сложное поручение, и он чувствует себя неспособным и незначительным, и он отказывается совершать служение, то как тогда делать?
Как рикоties gadījumos, ja Bhakt uzskata, viņš ir ļoti pazemīgs, un uzskata, ka viņš nav kvalificēts veikt to vai citu uzdevumu, ko viņam dod. Kā tad rīkoties?
If a devotee is very humble and he sees himself that he is unqualified to perform this or that duty, and because of that feeling he says no, I can't perform this or that, then what to do?
That's called cheating.
To sauc par mānīšanos.
Tell the president, well, can you offer the RT? Oh, I'm not qualified. Can you clean the toilet? Oh, I'm not qualified. Can you wash the dishes? Oh, I'm too contaminated. I can't go in the kitchen. That's called cheating. You see. The thing is, we are not qualified to do anything.
Patiesībā mēs neesam kvalificēti darīt neko.
Our only qualification is the order we have received from our spiritual master.
Mūsu vienīgā kvalifikācija ir saņemt norādījumus no garīgā skolotāja.
And that is coming down to you through your local temple authorities.
Un šie norādījumi nāk jums caur jūsu vietējo tempļa vadību.
They are representatives of your spiritual master.
Jūsu garīgā skolotāja pārstāvji.
Therefore, you should take it as Guru's order when you're asked to do something. Coming down the chain of command. It's like in the military. When your squad leader tells you to advance on the battlefield, you take it as an order coming from the commander-in-chief of the entire military.
Jūs uztverat to kā norādījumu, ko Devis ir armijas virsvarēlnieks.
isn't it? Those who are in the military, they know the principle.
Yeah.
Next question, yeah.
When someone becomes too humble, they might feel that they are taken advantage of also.
Take what?
Taken advantage of. If someone is too humble, they may feel they're being exploited and taken advantage of.
Bet ja kāds kļūst pārāk pazemīgs, tad viņš var just, ka viņu izmanto.
There's one devotee, he's so humble, he'll do whatever he's asked. So no one does any service, they just, everyone's asked him to do all the service. And the poor devotee has no time to chant his rounds properly, has no time to sleep properly. Everybody always asks him to do all the service. So that can sometimes happen in our movement, that someone is really humble and does whatever they're told. Devotees that take advantage of the unfair advantage of such a devotee. Do not do this. It is highly immoral and unethical. Every devotee should take, we should share the burden together, you see. It's like the Ratha Yatra cart. Can you pull it all by yourself? No, it's too heavy. So we have to all get together and pull the ropes together, you see. So don't expect one devotee to do all the service. Don't be so lazy and cruel to do that. Everybody should grab the ropes and pull Jagannath's cart. Everyone should take up some service. We all work together as a family to get the job done. Next question. Yeah.
Вопрос, все-таки уже тему, да, является, вот если подходит старший, да, и спрашивает тебя, готов ли ты к служению, является ли смирением ответить, да, я готов, но у меня нет качества?
Jautājums ir, ja vecākais bakta pienāk un jautā, vai tu esi gatavs veikt kalpošanu, vai ir pareizi atbildēt, ja es esmu gatavs, bet man nav atbilstošu īpaši.
In the same regard. If a senior devotee approaches you and asks to do some service, is it a proper way to reply, yes, I am ready, but I'm not qualified?
And that depends.
Tas ir atkarīgs no situācijas.
But actually, the real answer is this.
Paties atbildi šādi.
The more you feel unqualified, that is your qualification.
Jo vairāk jūs jūtaties nekvalificēts, tā ir jūsu kvalifikācija.
Someone says, Prabhu, we need you to give the Bhagavatam class this morning.
Kāds saka, Prabhu, vai jūs varētu vadīt Bhagavatam lekciju
šodien? I've never given a Bhagavatam class. I'm totally unqualified. How could I ever give a Bhagavatam class?
Es nekad neesmu sniedzis lekcijas, es pilnīgi nekvalificēts. Kā gan es to varētu izdarīt?
Your feeling of unqualification or disqualification, that is your qualification.
Jūs sajūt, ka jūs esat nekvalificēts, tā ir jūsu kvalifikācija.
So, if you truly don't know what you're doing, then say, Prabhu, I don't know anything about, you know, someone says, I need you to, need you to change the tire on this car back here. Well, I don't know the first thing about changing a tire. Can you help? Can you tell me how it's done? Then I'll be happy to try my best.
Yeah, but es nekad neesmu, man vispār nav izpratnes par to, kā to darīt. Jūs varat man pamācīt, tad es ar prieku to darītu.
If you truly don't know how to do something, you find out.
Ja jūs patiešām nezināt, kā kaut ko darīt, tad noskaidrojiet, kā to darīt.
Just like Prabhupada one time gave Tejas Prabhu, he says, make me upma. Make me this preparation upma. Prabhupada said, make me upma. He didn't know how to make upma. But he asked somebody how to make upma and he made it and Prabhupada loved it.
Bet viņš pajautāja kādam, kurš zināja, kā to pagatavot, viņš pagatavoja un pagatavot.
So if you don't know how to do something, then find out how to do it.
Jūs kaut ko nezināt, kā izdarīt, tad atrodiet veidu, kā noskaidrot to.
What is the classic example?
Kāds ir klasisks piemērs?
Prabhupāda.
Prabhupāda.
He was given the order to spread Krishna consciousness movement of the English-speaking world, he felt absolutely, totally, completely unqualified to do them.
Prabhupāda saņem norādījumu izplatīt šīs zināšanas angliski-runājušajās valstīs, un viņš jūtās pilnīgi nekvalificēts to darīt.
So what was his mood?
Kāds viņa bija?
Well, I can't do that because I'm unqualified.
Bet tas bija, nē, es to nevaru izdarīt, tāpēc, ka es esmu nekvalificēts.
His mood was qualified or unqualified, somehow I have to do this.
Kvalifikācēts, nekvalificēts, bet kaut kā man tas ir jāpaveic.
And by Krishna's grace he did it.
Un ar Krishna's žēlastību viņš to paveic.
What's another example?
Kāds ir nākamais piemērs?
The illiterate Brahman in the Ranganath temple.
Lasīt neprotošais Brahmans.
What temple?
Ranganath.
Ranganath temple.
He was ordered to read every day 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. The Brahmana was completely illiterate. He couldn't even read one word of Sanskrit. But what can he do? His Guru Maharaj ordered him every day, you have to read the entire book. So even though he was totally unqualified, he was holding the book, it wasn't a book, it was a written hand-copied manuscript. He was holding the manuscript, he was actually looking over every letter, the whole Gita he was reading, he was looking over the whole thing, he couldn't understand a word of it. But yet he was doing the best he could.
Un tas, ko viņš darīja, viņš turēja manuskriptu sev priekšā, viņš raudzījās uz katru burtu, katru vārdu, lai gan viņš neko nevarēja no tā visi saprast, viņš darīja labāko, ko varēja.
But the devotees are making fun of him.
Bet bhaktis smējās par viņu.
They're saying, just see, he doesn't know how to read and he's reading the Bhagavad Gita. They were laughing. Just see.
Viņš nemāk lasīt, bet tēloja kā, ka viņš mācētu lasīt.
He was the temple, he was like the joke of the temple was, yeah, this illiterate Brahman, he's trying to read the Bhagavad Gita, ha 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 ha. Ha.
Look, and visi smējās, and viņš bija apsmīkls tajā templī, un neprotošais Brahmans.
But one day, Lord Chaitanya, who was touring South India, he came to that Ranganath temple.
Bet kādu dienu, kungs Chaitanya, kas tad apceroja šo Indijas teritoriju, ieradās šajā templī.
He heard the talk going around about this Brahman who was trying to do that which he was totally unqualified to do because his Guru Maharaj ordered him to do it.
Un viņš dzirdēja par šo brāmanu, kurš cenšas darīt to, ko viņš ir absolūti neprasmīgs darīt, bet viņš to dara saskaņā savu Guru Maharaj norādījumu.
So Lord Chaitanya approached him.
Un Chaitanya atnāca pie viņa.
He said, Brahmana, I hear that you're reading Bhagavad Gita.
Viņš teica, Brahman, es dzirdu, ka tu lasi Bhagavad Gita.
But yet you're totally unqualified to do so because you're illiterate.
Bet tu taču esi pilnīgi neprasmīgs to darīt, tāpēc, ka tu nemāk lasīt.
How is it this, you're reading Bhagavad Gita?
Bet kā gan tu lasi Bhagavad Gita?
He said, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I have to read it, so what can I do?
Bet viņš teica, bet ko gan man darīt? Man Guru Maharaj devu tādu norādīju.
Qualified or unqualified, what can I say? Guru Maharaj has ordered me, I must do.
Kvalificēts vai nekvalificēts, ko gan es varu teikt? Man Guru Maharaj devu tādu norādīju.
So I'm simply looking over this manuscript.
Es vienkārši raugos, pārskatšu manuskriptu.
But Lord Chaitanya said, but Brahmana, I see you're not only looking over the words of the Bhagavad Gita, I see you are crying also.
Bet kungs Chaitanya teica, Brahman, es skatos, ka tu ne tikai raugies jo manuskriptā, es redzu, ka tu arī raudi.
My dear Brahmana, how is it you are crying?
Dārgais Brahmana, kā tas ir, ka tev asaras līst?
He said, yes, what can I do? They've also given one painting here along with the manuscript.
Giving what?
One painting is here. Just like this painting here, similar painting, you see, that we see here. And the painting, I see how Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. I can see how much Krishna loves his devotee. He is driving his own devotee's chariot. And when I think about how loving and kind and sweet is Krishna, I cry. And Lord Chaitanya then hugged him. He said, "You are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita." So he didn't consider disqualification a disqualification. When the Guru Maharaj orders, there is no question of qualification or disqualification. So we'll stop here. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarshan Dasati Hari Maharaj ki jai.